Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Playful Humans Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Montague, and my guest this week is an actor, performer, public speaker, and author. We'll talk more about that. His name is Tyler Foley, or at least we think that's his name, because his website is SeanTylerFoley.com. You can check out his stuff there, and there's a free offer for you right on the homepage as well. The book is The Power to Speak Naked, so we'll talk about that. I'm excited to find out whether he's actually done it or not, or just has the power. But if you want to find more out about Playful Humans, go to playfulhumans.com, join the club, and don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. It helps us out. Here we go. We start with the joke of the week. The joke of the week is brought to you by the new ant vaccines. Did you ever notice ants don't get sick? They created a new vaccine. It's full of antibodies. Okay. Here is the joke. The joke, the official joke of the week is, what does a cloud wear under its raincoat?
You tell me.
Thunderwear. That one's okay. I give that one like a 7. I kind of like the antibodies better. How about you? You got a joke for us?
Of course I do. I couldn't come on the show without it. So you got to tell me, Mike, what did the bra say to the hat?
The bra say to the hat? I don't know.
You go on ahead and I'll give these to a lift.
Nice. And we timed that perfectly with the music. Nicely done. Thanks for the opening here. So I, made a joke about the name already, but your website is Sean Tyler Foley. You go by Tyler. What happened to the Sean? Is this an alias?
Because my parents, I apparently love confusion. I was named Sean Tyler, like Jean-Luc or any other non-hyphenated, but dual name. And so when you tell people your name is Sean Tyler, they go, oh, hey, so how are you doing, Sean? I'm like, no, Sean Tyler. And it's just a certain level of pretension that I didn't feel like carrying through most of my adult life. So it's most of my friends just call me Tyler. The other thing is when I was in kindergarten, the two most popular names the year I was born were Sean and Tyler. And so in my kindergarten class, there were 6 Seans, and we all spelled them differently too. I spelled mine the right way, S-E-A-N, and then everybody else spelled it weird, like S-H-A-W-N, S-H-A-U-N. There was a real Gaelic spelling too that I can never remember, but it looked like Shibihivihon, but was Sean. And it made it easier on my kindergarten teacher to just become the second Tyler and let the rest of the Seans fight about who spelled their name right. And I've just been, my friends know me as Tyler throughout school. So even my wife calls me Tyler. You try to get her to call me Sean Tyler and it confuses her. The only people who call me Sean Tyler properly are my mom and my sister and a few others like that.
That's funny. I always think that's interesting. Yeah. I imagine if you say I'm Sean Tyler, people assume then that like Tyler's your last name. And it becomes a big mess. So I get it. SeanTylerFoley.com is the website. We'll just be going with Tyler from here on out as well. But I wanted to ask you about the book. So obviously, I think it comes out next week, September 7th, which is awesome. Just find it on Amazon. But it's also going to be in the bookstores, which is awesome. And a big, you know, congratulations to you on that.
Well,
but
thank you.
And I'd actually, The Power to Speak Naked is interesting.
Yeah. And I'd encourage your listeners, if they are interested in it after our little conversation about the book, to actually go to like barnesandnoble.com, or even better, hey, you know, we've just come out of a rough couple of months and year. Let's go to our local bookstore. You know, really help out some of those mom and pop shops. It's available throughout the world and in a lot of different bookstores. So yeah, you can get lazy. You can click on Amazon. But I would really love it if you could get out, go and play in the world, go explore a bookshop and find my book, and then find a couple others for you to read too.
There you go. That's awesome. Now, not to backtrack, this might require some editing on my podcast version, but I forgot to tell you my funny name story. My grandpa was named Carl, and he had a girl. So they named him Carol Christine. And then in some sort of freak accident like yours, they started calling her Chris and going by Christine. So he really wanted a daughter, Carol. So my mom was the second born. He named Carol Lynn Erickson. So they had two sisters named Carol. And then their third daughter was born, and she would go around. Do you remember the Bob Newhart show? I don't know if you guys got that one in Canada,
but this is my brother, Daryl. This is my other brother, Daryl.
Yeah. So she would say, this is my sister, Carol, and my other sister, Carol. I was like, that's so ridiculous.
A really good friend of mine and somebody who I speak with quite often, Carrie Weber Young, who's a phenomenal human, by the way, and I think would be a great guest on your show. She's full of energy, and all she does is play all day long. She had, and as part of a blended marriage, she had two brothers with the same name because you had a blended. So, and she would get in trouble at school. She'd be like, no, these are, you know, I have two brothers named this. And they're like, no, you don't. She's like, yeah, I do. So yeah, names are confusing and parents don't think.
Yeah, that's funny. So I still got to figure it out. I just had a new nephew born about 2 weeks ago, and his middle name is Michael. So I feel like if I can swing this middle name pivot, I got something going there.
I'm telling you, all the cool kids are doing it. Middle names are where it's at.
All right. So let's start with the naked part of the book. Is that you on the cover, or did you have a butt double there?
Oh yeah. Definitely had a butt double. Yeah. That is full stock imagery. Actually, there's a really funny story about that too, because the stock image that we're using is a stock image that I'm pretty sure my graphic team got from Amazon, but Amazon won't let me advertise on their platform because the image is indecent.
Oh, that's so funny. So they can sell the image. They just won't let you.
They can sell the indecent image. Just please don't use it to advertise your product on our service. Yes.
That's funny. So tell me about the book and the power to speak naked. Now, I've heard it the other way, right? You envision the audience naked, but never myself. I kind of like the thought so far. Where are we heading with this?
Well, so partly because exactly what you just said, the worst advice I've ever heard when it comes to public speaking is just picture your audience naked, because somehow we're supposed to get comfort or power from envisioning somebody else's discomfort. Like I've never understood that advice. If it is even advice, how it came to be, I will never understand. But I remember when we were brainstorming a title, I was in with a bunch of friends, and we were hanging out, and they were, I was asking them, I'm like, you know, what are some of the advice? Like, we were trying to come up, brainstorm the title, and what was some of the advice? And one, somebody said, oh, you know, picture your audience naked. I'm like, are you kidding? That's the worst advice ever. I'd rather give somebody the power to speak naked than to tell them to wait a second. The power to speak, that's the title right there. And that's how it came to be. And as I started to analyze why it resonated so much with me, it's really a threefold thing. First of all, from a very literal context, I would love to empower somebody to have so much confidence in the material that they were presenting that they could go and give it in the emperor's new clothes. Because it doesn't matter the surface, right? It's all fluff at that point. If you have content that is so powerful, people stop seeing you and they start feeling and hearing your message. And so from a very literal sense, yes, I want people to be confident enough that they could take the stage and speak naked. And then subtext to that, as I just alluded to, you need to have such a good message that you don't need the visuals. You don't need the PowerPoints. You don't need the props. You don't need stage lighting and the big PA, right? So strip it down raw. Can you actually just come up and have a conversation and be engaging this way? And then the sub layer to that is, can you expose yourself and be comfortable saying the naked truth? One of the adages that I have out of the book, and one of the things that I talk about in all of my training sessions, is the thing you're afraid to say is likely the thing that your audience needs to hear. And so to be able to strip it down to that and be able to expose yourself and be comfortable knowing that you're going to be supported and that it's okay to be raw and to be real and to expose yourself, it's a really powerful thing. So the power to speak naked, 3 different layers, 1 title.
I love all 3. I think are all 3 great. Now, I still want you to do it at least like on Zoom, do it without your shirt on, you know, and like for a book launch, like present.
I'll do you
and
one
like,
better.
I'm nailing it. Yeah.
So when I was putting together a lot of the training programs, what I would do is I would do these seminars, 45-minute seminars, and I'd book these talks to have people come in because I wanted to, when I do live presentations, it's important to me that I'm delivering material that the audience wants, that I'm not prepackaging or canning stuff. So a lot of my seminars are open format, open question periods, and I would do these 45-minute talks and then it would go from there. And every time I do a talk, we book, because I never know what could happen, right? Like there was an ice storm in Houston, of all places, back in the early part of the year, that shut it down for a week. And you're like, well, how do I get in and out? Infrastructure is broken. So we never know what's going to happen. So I always book an insurance date. And so I had booked this one presentation and I was, you know, it's the power to speak naked and the people would come and there was probably about 200 people in the audience. And this guy was heckling me. He's like, hey, naked boy, take off your clothes. And I've been in performing arts and performance for 35 years. So I know how to handle a crowd. And I was like, well, I don't have the insurance and you don't have the money. Right. And I thought I would leave it go there. And he's like, you're just chicken. I'm like, no, legitimately I would do this, but trust me, man, I don't have the permits. And now I'm trying to use some logic and rationale with somebody who obviously didn't want to be logicked to. So I tried to mansplain to him. I'm like, hey, listen, you know, it doesn't work that way. And so finally he wouldn't give it up and it was becoming disruptive and we only have 45 minutes to chat and I want to serve my audience. So I looked at him and I said, listen, I have this booked for next week for insurance. We were able to do this off and that booking is going to just cost me money. I didn't ever mind because for the one time that I need it, it's good insurance, but it's just sitting empty and it's mine. And I wasn't planning on using it, but I will be in town because I like, you know, the city and I planned a vacation with the family. So let's do this. I said, I will get the permits. If everybody here agrees to come back for 4 times the price that you paid to come here today, we're going to up the price 4 times. And if all of you agree to pay, we'll process it outside the door as you leave. Everybody gives the money right now. We sell the tickets. I will donate the proceeds to the local food bank.
Wow.
And you will come back. And I will redo this presentation totally naked. And everybody's like, no, you won't. I'm like, I'm serious. I'm in it for charity, right? If you're in it for charity and you guys want to see me make a fool of myself, I am willing to do it. I am confident enough that I will. So everybody agreed. So we sold the tickets. I got all the permitting so that we could do an 18 plus. I had to get security. I had to get a bouncer for the first time in one of my shows. I had to get bouncers to a check ID to make sure that we were doing a 21 plus show. And it cost a lot. I had to get the permits and insurance and there was a whole bunch. We couldn't serve food. That was hilarious. Couldn't serve food because of the nudity.
Yeah, no, like, you can't do that.
Okay. Yeah. Cause normally I provide snacks. So anyway, we had everybody come back. Heckler didn't show up.
What?
Heckler did not show up, but everybody else did. And we raised a decent amount of money for the local food bank. And I went up and I turned the heat up in the room just for my comfort. Went out and did the 45 minutes. And to this day, if anybody wants, I will do it again in a heartbeat. You just contact me and I will do it for charity and I will donate it to the local food bank. Or if you have a charity of your choice that you want to do, I'm game anytime.
Wow. I think that is awesome, man. I love it. I think it's a cool idea that you got creative right on the spot and made it happen for charity. But also when you got a book like this, you know, like having the guts to back it up and do it. That's awesome. I've been in similar situations in my career, but never done, Never done that. In like radio and DJing and clubs and stuff, there were always some interesting times. I'm having trouble coming up with like a really good one, but I you know, like that's the best part of it is when you can go for it and really do it and it becomes so much more fun to everybody else. So, you know, that's what we really, what we talk about on this podcast is how to get down to the real like essence of it and the fun and like everybody is in on it. Like, and no, there's no downside to, yeah, to going for it like that and putting yourself out there.
I think the downside was I really kind of wanted that guy to show up.
Like,
I was like, come on. Cause hey, I wanted to give him a little bit of props. Like, look at the good that came from your heckling. And I think the audience was more awkward with it than I was, especially for like the first 10 minutes.
Yeah.
But then after a while, it became like just standard. And I did them a favor. I would never stand behind a podium.
Right.
But I did have a podium. So for like the last half, I just kind of tucked myself behind. But I think at that point, I'd proved my point and I didn't need to be worried about it. And the podium just kind of was more for their comfort than for mine. So
that's funny. Yeah, I was going to ask, but I didn't want to go into too much detail there about about things because I feel like there are some logistical challenges to that. But let's get back to the message because the other two parts are really interesting to me too. Number one is I don't think you need props and special things to have fun, to have a good message, to be yourself. And I've found them distracting. And even the advice of picture the audience naked is if you're thinking about the audience, you're not thinking about your message. So I couldn't do two things at once. One of the things I love about doing these podcasts or public speaking is you have to be present. You have to be single-minded and focused and in the moment, which creates such a great flow state and a playful state of mind that you're improvising and you're going with stuff. And so I've never been a fan of like memorizing speeches and scripts and stuff either. So I love the idea of, I think my dad told me when we were doing sales training, it's like, you need to get so good that if we just ripped all these pages out of the binder, threw them up in the air and caught one out of the air, you could just start teaching from this page, right? That you don't need all the other pages before it or after. You could just start delivering it naturally. And I love that about your message in the book. That's really cool.
Well, and one of the things that I talk about in the book is to get away from scripts because they're the fastest way to isolate yourself from an audience. I do believe in paying attention to your audience. Like, I think you need to be in tune with them. You need to really listen. The hardest part of learning to be a professional speaker versus an amateur presenter is learning to listen to your audience. There's a really interesting statistic. 92%, if you have an audience who's engaged, have 92% engagement, it's because you are having a dialogue with them and not a monologue. As soon as you go into a monologue state where you're just delivering, the engagement of your audience goes down to 78%. So that's a 14% loss just by doing what everybody thinks public speaking is, and that's just talking, where the reality is we have conversations very much like what you and I are doing right now. And that's where our brain is active. Because if I ask you a question or I say a thing and you're like, oh, yes, you need the ability to reply back or you are going to get lost in that thought and start to tune out my words. So listening to your audience and paying attention to them, watching your audience, seeing what's landing, and then not being married to a script. Being married to a story arc is better, right? Where you know that you want to take your audience on a journey. You want to tell them an empowering story or tell them a little bit, give them knowledge that they don't have currently. And, or they may even know the thing that you're saying, but you are going to present it in a different way, your way, a unique way. And that's where in the book, we talk about the power of story. And why it's so important. Les Brown says it great. He says, never make a point without a story. Never tell a story without a point. And it's so poignant when you really can grasp onto that concept because we communicate through story. Oral tradition is how humans communicated for centuries by passing down information through the power of story. I mean, you look at the Greek mythologies, even in biblical times, the original biblical texts were originally designed to be given orally, right? And you had very few people who could actually read. And so you had to tell the story and make it universal so that people could bond onto the ideas and grasp them. So there's a true power in telling stories. And that's why I like, it's easier to do a story too, because nobody knows your story better than you. So it's right. Real. You can't get it wrong. You may tell it differently each time, but you can't get it wrong. And so then you don't have to get lost in, oh, what was I supposed to say? You just tell the story. And if you know why you're telling the story, you're making a point with the story, then it lands with your audience. And all you then have to do is walk them through these various points through storytelling, and they all are on board.
Well, I love that. You're right. There's so many benefits of it that you don't ever forget a whole story, right? Like, especially if it's your story. And so when I did a lot of like speaker training and other stuff of practice on my performance, it's really, for me, I think the gist of it is, I know what I'm going to say, but I don't know how I'm going to say it yet. When you know your subject matter really well, you don't need to rely on how you're going to say it exactly, because the audience is different. And sometimes you get a laugh or a question, or you get some weird looks and you go, oh, did I skip something? And you have to go back, where if you get a script and you miss a word, you're more worried about the word than the message, and it gets all messy. So I love that advice. I think it's great. Great tips for people. But I wanted to hear more about your story. On this podcast, we like to go a little bit deep, because I think there probably are maybe some, you know, middle school, high school, college kids who would love to just be a public speaker and travel the country and go be on stage and have fun. And the acting and performing that you do are something people would love to do. And I always get the question, like, how do I get that job? And my answer is usually you start with really crappy jobs, and then you get slightly less crappy jobs until you get better ones. How was your story? Where did this start? Did you ever have a real job that you bailed out of to do this, or did you always pursue performing?
Oh yeah, no, I've always had performing in my blood. I've been on a stage since I was 6 years old, performing in film and television since I was about 12, 13. Really got professional with film and television between, you know, late teens and mid 20s. But yeah, I've had a lot of Joe jobs, you know, and I've had some that I've stuck that I've really enjoyed, and some that I've tuck-tailed and run really quick. I worked for a buddy of mine who's a really smart businessman and runs his own electrical company. And I was an electrician apprentice for, you know, 6 months, and I am not built to labor. Yeah, I don't pull wire well. And, you know, even when we're doing improvements around the house here, it's usually my wife that's wielding the hammer, because she's in construction. And I supervise, which is ironic because she's a project manager, but she definitely knows how to wield the hammer better. So I've just always gravitated to positions where I could do this, where I could talk to people and communicate. So, you know, when I started acting, I was six, and that was just a job. It was just fun. I got to play with kids and adults, and we got to do dress up, and we got to do dress up where we got to entertain people and people would clap for us. And that was what I understood of my job for a very, very long time. And then when I realized it could be a career, I went to a fine arts high school and really recognized that this was a thing that I could get paid to do. And then about 25, I remember getting bored with it. I remember getting a call from my agent. I had to go back for a callback. And I was, at the time, I was living about 3 hours from the epicenter of film. So where I'm at, Vancouver is the epicenter and where everybody goes. And that's, you know, it's Hollywood North. And I was living in a smaller town called Penticton, beautiful, beautiful lake community, but a 3 hour drive to downtown Vancouver. And my agent called me and she was like, Tyler, I got a call back for you. And I remember in that instant being like, oh, I don't want to turn around. And like, people would trade millions of dollars to have been in my position. The other actors, people who are not in performance, just to have the ability to go back in front of a casting director who you've already auditioned for, who just wants to see some more, because that's the next step to getting the gig. Like, usually if you get a call back, you are this close to booking the role. And I was like, nah, but do I really want to? And as soon as I recognized it, I'm like, okay, we need to hit pause on this. So I kind of retired from acting and went back to school and While I was in school, I had some odd jobs, worked for an airline. Working for the airline was fun because I got to talk on the mic and like tell people where to get their baggage. Oh, yeah. I remember being on a call center. I worked for a ski hill doing inbound call sales. So I sell people ski packages. And that was fun too. Cause tell me what your dream is. What do you want to do? How do you envision your ski vacation? And I would just make it happen for them. So, you know, I've always done stuff where I could communicate with people, and I've always found that as part of my wheelhouse. But to get into this, to discover this as a job, has been the greatest blessing, where I'm not locked to somebody's script. I am just here to entertain you and provide you valuable information that you may be able to use to improve your career in life and to play. I mean, yeah. I get to play every day. I feel like a big kid. It is the greatest gig on the planet. And if anybody wants to, I would strongly encourage them, especially in this day and age, we're in an age of information. There's so much ability for people to teach from anywhere on the planet.
I love that. I agree, but you know, I'm doing the same thing. So obviously I'm in it. I think it's a great thing to do. So I'm going to give full disclosure to the audience. I'm going to be naked here. Normally we prep the games on the show. We've done 50 of these and I cheated at all the games. However, we did not do that before we started recording. So Tyler, would you like to play or would you like to walk away?
Oh, I want to play.
All right. We are spinning our prize wheel. It has 10 games on it and you choose, which is lucky for us since we did not prep. So I have some Survey Says questions where you guess, and we can even do a movie edition of that. I have some awkward questions here, or we can play your favorite comedy sport improv game. It is up to you.
Oh, I feel like it's unfair to go with the comedy sports. And it's too bad that when Gary Ware was on your podcast a while back that you guys didn't get to do that, because he was a great guest and an improv facilitator. So I don't want to deny your audience the joy that is theater sports, but movie trivia. Ooh.
Okay. I'll get three random ones. So we're looking for one of the top five answers. And okay. Our first one is, give me the title of an iconic movie song that was also a successful pop song on the pop charts.
Color of the Wind. No, it has this movie title.
The song.
Yeah. Color of the Wind.
That is not in the top five. I get that one. Lots of good ones though. Staying Alive, Eye of the Tiger, Footloose, Shallow. I don't know what that from is.
Shallow's from A Star Is Born. And it's been on the top charts four times.
Wow. My Heart Will Go On, number two. And number one answer, Live and Let Die.
I can see that. Yeah. Live and Let Die has been on the charts twice because both the Byrds version and the Guns N' Roses version.
Good. Do you have any kids?
I do.
Five-year-old daughter. A movie in which someone gives birth.
Look Who's Talking.
Look Who's Talking is the number two answer. Nicely done. Congratulations. Knocked up the number one answer. Juno, Three Men and a Baby, Rosemary's Baby, and What to Expect When You're Expecting. All good tunes there. All right, let's see if we can find one more here. This will be the tiebreaker, whether you win or lose. Too easy. Okay, here you go. This is a fun one. Name a movie that you wouldn't recommend your parents see. Name a movie you wouldn't recommend to
Deadpool.
Oh, not on here, but it should be. That's good.
I don't care. I'm still right. It probably, those cards are old.
All right. Do you have a second guess?
If I had a second one, parents shouldn't see. I don't know.
All right. Number four, Bad Moms. Number three, Scarface. Number two, Debbie Does Dallas. Definitely wouldn't recommend that to my parents. But number one answer, 50 Shades of Grey. People going naughty today. All right. Either way, though, we are still going to give you a free 30-second commercial for the book. Any, you know, asks of our audience, props for that or gives that you have a gift for us you can tell us about.
Yeah. So my gift to your audience, if they go to SeanTylerFoley.com, they can download The Method, which is an 11-page booklet that has 5 insider secrets to being a better public speaker. That's compression of 35 years of my knowledge into one booklet. And if they could do me a huge favor and go to their local bookstore and either pre-order or pick up a copy of The Power to Speak Naked, my publisher will love you. And everybody always wants to know how they get the book and how to order it in bulk. That's my answer. Order it in bulk.
There you go. I would also say buy it from your local bookstore and then leave a 5-star review on Amazon. That's the way you help authors out sure. Definitely. So go check that out. The book Power to Speak Naked, The Power to Speak Naked is available September 7th. Check that out at your local bookstore. Go to SeanTylerFoley.com and check out The Method for free. And Tyler, you did it. Thanks for being on the show. I really appreciate it. Help for this podcast would be amazing if you can give us a thumbs up or share the podcast with somebody. Social media is always great. Again, the reviews and comments. But it's available on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, wherever you listen to the show. Give us a nice thumbs up, a like, or a button. We would really appreciate that. And until next time, if you can't be good at it. That's what I always say. Go play, everybody.
Chasing the sun.